It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This is Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Butler Community College President, Dr. Kimberly Krall. Hey, welcome to Issues 2023.
Thanks. It's good to be with you this morning. This is always fun to visit with you.
Fall classes begin at Butler here pretty shortly. You're about ready to go, aren't you?
Right. Yes. They start next Monday on the 21st. Our faculty are all back this week for what we call professional development days. And so it gives them an opportunity to work together. It's almost kind of like conference style, a couple of different days, because they have breakout sessions and training and department meetings and things like that. So they're spending the week together and getting ready for classes. And then students are here to start class on Monday. So it's fun to have the energy and activity on campus, because summer gets a little bit quiet around here. So fun to see everybody back.
You recently had a visit from the HLC. What is the HLC, Doctor?
HLC is the Higher Learning Commission. All of the institutions across the U.S. Have accrediting bodies, and this is a national accrediting body that accredits colleges kind of in the Midwest, the central section of the United States. We have to be accredited in order for our students to have access to federal financial aid. So it's a really important designation that institutions have. Our accreditation is a 10-year accreditation, and so they were back out in April for our 10-year visit and reaffirmed our accreditation for another 10 years. We met all of the criterion and the core components, except for one. We have some governance issues with our board that have to be resolved and that we have to report back on. But everything that the faculty and the staff and the college was able to address, we really got high accolades and lots of compliments. And so we're excited about that. That's a really important designation for us. And it's a big deal to get ready for the site visits and have folks come from institutions from across the United States that are, educators and experienced reviewers. So it was a good visit.
So, and now, are you celebrating 10 years at Butler now?
I am. Yeah, I'm in my 10th year here. So time flies.
What did you do before you became the Butler president?
I was at Cloud County Community College in Concordia as the vice president of academics for 8 years. And so, and before that, I was at a real small college in Nebraska for a number of years. So
where are you from? Where's your childhood home?
I grew up in North Platte, Nebraska, so I'm a Husker.
All right.
That's where my parents had lived their entire adult life. And so, even though I haven't been there, lived there for a long time, on my I don't have any family left in North Platte, it's still, you still kind of consider it home.
Sure,
so
sure.
It always feels good to go back.
The Wichita Business Journal named you Executive of the Year in 2021. Tell us about your management philosophy. You must know something, Dr. Girl.
maybe it's just, I don't know if it's age or what it is, you learn over time. But, I really try to engage a team of people around me as far as decision making and leading. And I kind of have always been that way. I really believe that you surround yourself with people that have tremendous skill sets and know their areas of expertise, and you give them the autonomy to you know, to do their jobs and to lead their people, gather different ideas around the table so you can make good decisions and, you know, discuss and kind of hash and rehash. But I really try to be one of those people that utilizes the expertise of other people, because they, you know, lots of those folks have spent careers like in finance and IT. They know way more than I do. And so it's really kind of a collaborative effort from my perspective as far as leadership is concerned.
Does Butler have a mission and a vision?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and really just in a nutshell, I mean, our mission is really daily to change our students' lives. That's why we come to work, and that's really what we believe in. And it's really fun when we, you know, sit down and talk to students and faculty and staff. In fact, we just went through a process a year ago, about a year and a half ago, to go back and review our mission statement and our vision statements and revise them. And it's really about creating opportunities for students for lifetime success. We want our environment to be inclusive and affordable. And it's fun when you talk to people and you really talk about that, because the folks at Butler find purpose in the work that they do, because we know that we're helping students be successful. And so it's a passion, and it's neat to be working among people that really understand, you know, the value of the work that we do.
What is your enrollment? How many people do you have going to school there?
Oh, gosh, this fall we'll have, I mean, if you look at full-time and part-time together, we'll be, you know, we'll probably be between around 8,500 students, I think, is probably where we'll be. You know, it fluctuates. We've lost some enrollment over the years, and COVID certainly had an impact on us, but we have a lot of part-time students. Yeah. Probably the largest percentage of our student population are part-time, so they kind of come and go, you know, so that enrollment fluctuates some.
Your campus, main campus in El Dorado, has been forever, but
you have
several satellites now, don't you?
We do. We have a robust campus in Andover, just off of 13th Street. We have a brand new year-old culinary arts building. The Redler Institute of Culinary Arts is just on the south side of Kellogg, east of Andover Road in Andover. Really excited about that facility. We have our service area, our Kansas Board of Regents service area, is a 5-county service area that's designated. And so we serve Butler, Marion, Morris, Chase, and Greenwood counties. And so we have a site in Marion at the high school, and we have a site in Council Grove. But within Butler County, we probably, I don't know, we teach classes or offer classes, I think, in, you know, more than 30 high schools in you know, Butler County and in our service area. So we have a huge outreach. We also have it's a growing program at the El Dorado Correctional Facility. We 2 years ago were one of, I think, 73 institutions across the nation that had was awarded Second Chance Pell dollars, which are very specifically designated for incarcerated individuals that fall within a certain kind of a certain set of guidelines. They have to be a certain number of years from release, and they can't have committed certain crimes and those kinds of things. But, you know, the conversation so much now surrounds needed workforce, and there's become more and more conversation about, you know, helping provide job skills for folks that are incarcerated and near release, so that when they're released, they have an opportunity for good-paying jobs and a more stable lifestyle, and that, you know, reduces recidivism. And so we've had the opportunity the last 2 years to really expand our construction technology and our masonry program at El Dorado Correction Facility. And so that's a really that's been a really neat experience to start to have an impact on those men's lives too. So that's considered one of our locations now as well.
Well, recently, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that race cannot be a factor in college admittance. Does that ruling have an impact at Butler?
You know, it really doesn't. We have never, our community college admissions have always been open door. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, come to us and we'll help you reach your educational goals. The only time that we really, enrollment applications have for a long time have had categories on them where you can designate your ethnicity if you want to. And right now, institutions report that at the national level just so that they can, kind of keep track of enrollment of different populations of students. It's really not going to impact us because we don't do any kind of quota things or anything like that that some of the, universities do across the nation. But we do like to somehow we want to still be able to try to understand what the mix of our student population is because we know that there are certain segments of, our populations of students, for instance, if you're a first generation learner or, populations, different ethnicities don't have as much success in college. And so we still feel like it's important for us to understand our student population to make sure that if we've got segments of student populations like that, that we can provide the support services that they need in order to help them be successful and reach their goals. So it doesn't make a lot of difference from an enrollment perspective, but once our students get here, we want to try and understand what those populations of students are so we can help them be successful.
How did the COVID pandemic impact Butler?
Well, it changed enrollment patterns for us. We made that transition really fairly easily. It's pretty amazing when you stop and think about it. We had a few years prior to that, not knowing obviously the pandemic was coming, but we had some additional capital outlay dollars that we utilized to address 10 or 11 very specific technology projects. And so we had spent a couple of years before this ever happened updating all of our technology, wire-to-wire, border-to-border wireless, upgrading the infrastructure, all of that kind of stuff. And so when we had to make that transition, it was very smooth for us. We'd been teaching online classes for 20 years, and so we had a lot of experienced faculty. But, the thing that was really interesting when we came back, and we discovered in the middle of that we had students that didn't have access to technology. We even had some staff and faculty that really didn't have very good access to technology because of where they lived. For students, lots of times it was, financial. And so when we came back, we really had a focus on understanding from our students what worked and what didn't work. I had student forums and talked to them and, asked them questions. What do we still need to do? What should we never try to do again, And they talked a lot about the need for technology and the flexibility in classrooms and access to technology. So some of the federal stimulus dollars that we got, we utilized and created high-flex classrooms so that some of those classrooms had Zoom capabilities. And so if students still needed to work or were traveling or had folks at home that were sick, they could still connect with class and not, get behind. We initiated a My Butler Laptop initiative so that students could access a really inexpensive laptop. The first year we did it, I think they paid $100 or $150 for a laptop as long as they were enrolled in like 6 credit hours or 9 credit hours, and they could keep it then. This year, We've changed that a little bit, and any student that wants a laptop can have one. And again, it's because we know that some of them just don't have access to that technology. So we learned some of those things throughout, and have continued to, you know, to try and move forward with technology initiatives, understanding that, you know, we had during the pandemic, we had students that were trying to do their homework on their phones, you know. Yeah. So, so the technology piece is big. It's really big still.
You're listening to Issues 2023 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Butler Community College President, Dr. Kimberly Krall. And before time gets away, I want to ask you specifically about a couple of programs you're doing. There, you're doing something regarding the culinary arts, are you not?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, besides the regular culinary and pastry classes that we have, you know, that are certificate and degree pathway, we're doing a number of community cooking classes this fall, which will be really, really fun. We have one, I think, that's coming up in a couple of Saturdays on panna cotta and French macarons. We have a steak night dinner where couples can come and learn, you know, some great grilling techniques and have a great dinner. We have one coming up, I think about Thanksgiving time, that's a Thanksgiving pies, learning how to do a pumpkin pie and a pecan pie. And then we have gingerbread house around Christmas time. So it's a really fun way to engage a limited, they're space limited, of course, but, you know, to engage community members, to get them into the Redler and teach them some fun things that they can, you know, take home with them. So we're really excited about that. And there's some other things that are happening at the Redler. They're initiating a chef's table, which is kind of an exclusive opportunity for people to be part of the Redler, and a couple of different events during the year to have nationally known chefs come in and prepare dinners and those kinds of things. And so there's a lot of, we're finally now, you know, kind of off the ground with classes and starting to really expand and engage the community now. So it's a lot of fun.
And you have an unmanned, jumping to this, unmanned aircraft systems degree. I presume that we're talking about drones here. Is that correct?
Well, we do. Yeah, it's not a degree program. We're doing some drone technology in our ag program. You know, they're using drones more and more for insurance purposes and field exploration, and you know, even in fire science and those kinds of things, to, you know, to get a view on you know, a variety of different things when, for instance, maybe people can't be on the ground and, you know, and get in to look. So we're mainly doing ours now through, you know, through our ag program. But it's fascinating. You know, it's really kind of the one of those new technologies that has taken off, and they're just finding more and more avenues for use, you know, as we go along. So
What is Butler doing in the field of cybersecurity, Dr. Krall?
Our cybersecurity program is now all online, so, you know, anybody from across the nation can enroll. And this is, you know, it's obviously a huge, you know, avenue now that's embedded in all of our work processes. You know, whether you're a small business or large business or, you know, large institution, everybody has to have a focus now on cybersecurity. And so we've moved ours all online, which is great. We also are one of just a couple of institutions in Kansas that has a national designation for our program. It's a National Center of Academic Excellence for Cyber Defense Education. And that designation comes from the National Security Agency and Homeland Security. And it's really kind of a testament to the quality of education that we provide our students and the focus on cybersecurity. But it also, a piece of it is also Butler's internal operations for our own, you know, our own college cybersecurity and our own focus of protecting, you know, student data and our workforce and our, you know, business processes data. We have a partnership with Friends University for transfer from our cyber program to their bachelor's program in cyber, and have some great scholarship dollars available through that transfer program with Friends too. So it's a really great designation, designated through 2024, and we'll go ahead and, you know, and reapply for it again. But it's pretty prestigious to, you know, to be able to have this designation.
Your athletic programs have brought Butler quite a bit of attention. Tell us about that. Give us an idea of what's going on in athletics.
Oh, gosh, there's just such a huge history and tradition at Butler that really probably came out of, you know, the number of national championships that we've had in football over the years. I think that's really what people think about when they, you know, when they think about Butler athletics, and that, you know, that tradition of, you know, players that end up going on to the D1 level and into, you know, the National Football League. So tremendous, outstanding, you know, football. We've got great basketball programs. Our soccer team women's soccer team has gone to nationals, I think 11 of the last 13 years. Softball team has two national championships. And volleyball went to national tournament 2 years ago. So there's a real tradition of, you know, athletic excellence at Butler. And I always tell people, it's, you know, we've got good student athletes and good talent, but it really starts at the top with the leadership and the coaches. And they are firm believers that, you know, they want those students to excel on the court and on the field, but they want them to be good people. They want them to be good students. And so we always, you know, are looking at team GPAs, and always, have some of our teams, ranked, at the, national NJCAA level as, you know, teams that are in the top with grade point averages. And so we're proud of that as well. We had, I think this spring we had 55 of our student athletes that were named, NJCAA Academic All-Americans because they had grade point averages of 3.5 or higher. So,
wow.
You know, really, really proud of that success. So they're good athletes, but they're good students and good people. And that's, you know, that's a big part of it as well.
So what's the best thing about your job? What gets you out of bed and going in the morning? There's a lot going on, a lot to keep track of, but what gets you excited about doing your job every day, Dr. Kral?
Well, you know, I think it's the students. It's, you know, it's just knowing that the work that we do is impactful. We know that students might not have an opportunity to go to college if they weren't able to come to Butler and have access to scholarships and have, you know, the ability to be in classes that are smaller with a, you know, really personal focus on campus and with their, you know, the faculty and staff. And I tell, you know, people at Butler probably get tired of hearing me say it, but I continually say, you know, everybody's job here at Butler somehow touches a student's life every single day. And there's just a culture at the college of this focus on student success and, you know, again, knowing, you know, why we come to work and the purpose behind our work. And so I love the people that I work with, and I just love being around the students and, you know, being able to get to know them. So I think that's, you know, that's what gets me out of bed every morning.
So how long are you going to keep doing this? People asking me this all the time. How long are you going to do this?
You know, who knows? it's always hard to tell. There's real, I have a career in education, and so there's, you know, a lot of memories and a lot of things that I can't take credit for a lot of it. I always focus back on my team and the wonderful people that I've been able to work with over my career that have done great things. And so, I don't know. You know, your kids are always after you. I have a brand new granddaughter in Anchorage, Alaska. And so,
okay.
You know, At some point in time, I'll retire, but right. it's hard to tell when.
So. I need to interrupt you there because we're out of time, but thanks so much for being with us. Our guest, Butler sure. Community College President, Dr. Kimberly Krall. That's all for this edition of 2023. We'll be back next week. Thank you all for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.